ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us here at the Church of Salvation, Healing, and Deliverance for another biblical message. Should you desire to contact us, our email is cos.hkd7@gmail.com, and our website is cos.hkd.org. And you can pass this along for free and in original condition. I am Pastor T. John Franklin, and may our Lord Jesus Christ richly bless you and yours. Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you for joining us here today. We are meeting here on Mother's Day, so Lord's blessings and all the mothers that are out there. Yes, we are going to be today looking at Wonder Woman, the revised Diana. This is an important thing to look at because, you know, there is a lot of it that is going on in the world. If you were to look today at how many of the ancient demonic entities have resurfaced, you'll see them. They're in children's TV shows. They're in, a lot of them are in the cartoon books that many people buy. And they're in movies. They're all over the place. Well, Diana has made a big comeback. And people out there probably do not realize that they've been involved in worshiping Diana by being involved in this stuff. And the new modern Diana comes out as Wonder Woman. I'm sure everybody has heard of her. Well, we're going to look at that today. But first, let's just start off with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do come to you through the shed blood of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and guided by the indwelling Holy Spirit. Lord, we do bless and praise and glorify you. We thank you for all the blessings you've given us, Lord. Thank you for giving us another time in which we can study your scriptures. And I'm asking, Lord, for abundance of your blessings. That you reveal your meanings and truth, open, I understand, help to put them into effect. I'm praying, Lord, you take any blinders, blockers that might be on the eyes, ears, and minds. Take any spirits of slumber. See if the godly seed sown as well, too. And also, Lord, take any disturbance or distractions as well, too. Lord, at the same time, we do lift up the persecuted believers all over the world. Ask your abundant blessings. Give them all sufficient grace. Give them a mighty outpouring, your Holy Spirit. Lead these angels to minister them. Strength their faith. Restore their souls. Give more power, mind, strength, power, love, and a sound mind, more healings and deliverances. Yes, Lord, for those who are in danger, ask you to hold them, palms of your hand, and protect them. For those who are incarcerated, I'm praying, Lord, you bring about a speedy release. In the name of blood, Lord Jesus Christ, I bind the strong set for all of us partaking here. Name, blood, Lord Jesus, I break all curses, device, witchcraft, psychic prayers on or against us, and I send them back immediately to the original demonic senders. I cover with all blood, Lord Jesus, and in Jesus' name I lose allegiance to the Lord's spirits, especially Isaiah 11:2, the seven spirits of God, and the spirit of Elijah. Yes, Lord Jesus, we do thank you for the many blessings that you have given us. In Jesus' mighty name, by his blood. Amen. Wonder Woman, the revised Diana. As we'll see, many mentions in Acts chapter 19. Yes, as we were saying earlier, if you were to look at how many of those ancient gods are the Greeks and the Romans, the Chinese, etc., have made a comeback. You'll see a lot of them. They're especially in these games like Dungeons and Dragons and the video games, etc., that so many people are obsessed with. You'll see them in the popular media. You'll see them in children's shows, movies. They're all over the place. Why don't we take a look at one of them? This one is Diana. You say, well, just one of the gods, the old days. Well, Diana was the name the Romans gave her. Artemis was the name the Greeks gave her. But do you know in the Roman Empire, Diana was the most widely and worshipped pagan idol? They found shrines to Diana all across the whole Roman Empire. Now, it wasn't just one Diana. We'll be taking a look at more better later, but basically, there were many kinds of Diana. Various associations with things like hunting, etc., things with women. Whereas in Ephesus, that was kind of the epitome of Diana worship. Where she is a figure with many breasts, the symbol of fertility. Spring being the main season, we just come to the Feast of Life, maybe pagan observances of that. Hopefully, born-again believers were remembering the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ on Resurrection Sunday. Well, there are references here to Diana in the Bible. You'll find them in Acts chapter 19. We'll just take a look at the specific references. You can go through the whole chapter. We did that recently, so I won't repeat what I just did. We'll start off in Acts 19:24. I'm just going to read the list of them just to show you that this demonic entity is mentioned in the Bible. For a certain man named Demetrius made silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain under the craftsman. Verse 27, so that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of a great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. Next, verse 28. And when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. 34. But when they knew that he was a Jew, and all with one voice about the space of 2 hours cried out, great is Diana of the Ephesians. 35. And when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, ye men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how that the city of the Ephesians is a worshipper of the great goddess Diana, and of the image which fell down from Jupiter? Well, there you have the mentions of Diana there in Acts chapter 19. And how important it was. It meant a lot to the Romans, especially here in Ephesus. See, she was the chief of the female goddesses. You find a lot of the female goddess worship in this day and age as the world shifts from a patriarchal to a matriarchal structure. You'll even see it in Russia. They talk about the various nations coming back to Mother Russia. A lot of matriarchy there, you know. You take a look at the other female goddesses all around the world in all cultures. The big thing these days is Mother Nature, Mother Earth. Well, that's revised Gaia from the old days. There's Mary, there's Venus, there's Astarte, there's Ashtaroth, you know, the female consort of Baal. And on and on and on it goes. You see, a big thing about the female goddess worship, it plays a big part in the worshiping of creation, whereas the patriarchal societies worship the creator. That's the main difference, you know. Who are people supposed to worship? Obviously, we're supposed to worship the true and living God, the one who created the heavens and the earth, and his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, it says in, you know, 1 John 2:23, if you acknowledge the Son, you have the Father. But if you deny the Son, you have not the Father. That's important to remember. Many people today are denying the Lord Jesus Christ, but they're big into worship of the female goddesses. And yes, Diana is a big one. Remember Princess Diana when she was killed some, what, 20 years ago? The tremendous outpouring of grief that people had. It's almost like it was a symbiotic relationship. They were taking the grief of Diana upon themselves. And social scientists even noticed that phenomena there as well, too, and they described it. But as we're looking at Diana, we'll see what Easton's Revised Bible Dictionary says. It's a good reference book to have and go through. Diana, so called by the Romans, called Artemis by the Greeks, the great goddess worshipped among heathen nations under various modifications. Her most noted temple was that at Ephesus. It was built outside the city walls and was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. First and last, it was the work of 220 years, built of shining marble, 342 feet long by 164 feet broad, supported by a forest of columns each 56 feet high. A sacred museum of masterpieces of sculpture and painting. At the center, hidden by curtains within a gorgeous shrine, stood the very ancient image of the goddess on wood or ebony, reputed to have fallen from the sky. Behind the shrine was a treasury, whereas in the safest bank in Asia, nations and kings store their most precious things. The temple, as Paul saw it, subsisted till 262 AD, when it was ruined by the Goths. Also mentioned in Acts 19:23-41. Move on Ephesians. In the introduction, he was writing about that. Also, this temple was only a shrine. Diana was not said to live there, but she lived in nature. She was everywhere with everybody. This area was also a sanctuary for murderers, where if they committed murder, they could run to it and seek immunity from any prosecution or relatives of the dead wanting revenge. As you can see, there's really nothing godly going on there now, is there? And as like the others, there was the sacred prostitutes as well, too, associated. That went on in most pagan religions, by the way. That's probably one reason Paul, in the letter to the Corinthians, told them, get rid of all immorality. That's why he took a hard line on the man who had married his mother. Said, no, we do not do things here like that the pagans do. It's an important notice. There's supposed to be a difference between things of the Lord and things of the world. Now, if you wanted a bit more information about the new Diana, well, look up the Wonder Woman, and you'll see how Wonder Woman was based on Diana, the ancient goddess. There's no coincidence. It was planned that way in an effort to basically revive the old worship the old religion of Diana. How successful has it been, you may ask? Well, how many people have read the comic books, have seen the shows, have seen the movies, and apparently there's another one coming out the next year or so. Probably a lot of people go. No, it's popular. So the new worship of Diana is definitely coming back. Well, if you wanted another source to find out more about this, you could look it up in Wikipedia. And you see what they say. I'll just read selective passages from their article there. I encourage you to check it out and get the whole story yourself. Wonder Woman is a super heroine created by American psychologist and writer William Moulton Marston and published by DC Comics. The character first appeared in All-Star Comics number 8 in December 1941 and first cover dated on Sensation Comics number 1 January 1942. The Wonder Woman title has been published by DC Comics almost continuously, except for a brief hiatus in 1986. Her depiction as a heroine fighting for justice, love, peace, and sexual equality has led to Wonder Woman being widely considered a feminist icon. Wonder Woman is a warrior princess of the Amazons, based on the Amazons of Greek mythology, and is known in her homeland as Princess Diana of Thymaicia. When outside her homeland, incognito, she is sometimes known by the secret identity, Diana Prince. She is gifted with a wide range of superhuman powers and superior combat and battle skills. She possesses an arsenal of weapons, including the unbreakable lasso of truth, a pair of bullet-deflecting bracelets, a tiara which serves as a projectile, and in some stories, an invisible airplane. Created during World War II, the character was initially depicted fighting the Nazis and Axis military forces, as well as an assortment of supervillains. Wonder Woman gained a formidable cast of enemies bent on eliminating her, including classic villains such as Cheetah, Ares, who is another Greek god, and Sirk, and newer ones like Genocide and the Circle, as well as many gods and monsters from Greek mythology. Wonder Woman has also regularly appeared in comic books featuring the superhero teams Justice Society from 1941 and Justice League from 1960. In addition to the comics, the character has appeared in other media, most notably in the 1975-79 Wonder Woman TV series starring Linda Carter, as well as animated series such as the Super Friends and Justice League. Since Carter's television series, Warner Brothers Studio has not introduced a new live-action Wonder Woman to audience, although the character continues to be highly well-known globally. Wonder Woman has been featured in a variety of toys and merchandise, as well as animated adaptations of DC properties, including a popular 2009 direct-to-DVD animated feature. Attempts to return Wonder Woman to television have included a pilot for NBC in 2011, closely followed by another stalled production for the CW network. In 2013, it was announced that actress Gail Gadot would portray Wonder Woman in 2016 untitled Man of Steel sequel. This will be the first live-action version of the character since the 1970s television show. Well, that's about Wonder Woman, you say. Well, how exactly does that tie in with Diana? Well, why don't we take a look at the creation of Wonder Woman and see how it all happened. In an October 25, 1940 interview with the Family Circle magazine, William Moulton Marston discussed the unfulfilled potential of the medium. This article caught the attention of comics publisher Max Gaines, who hired Marston as an educational consultant for national periodicals and all American publications, two of the companies that would merge to form DC Comics. At that time, Marston decided to develop a new superhero. Family Circle published a follow-up article 2 years later from issue of the Boston University Alumni Magazine. It was Marston's wife Elizabeth's idea to create a superheroine. William Moulton Marston, a psychologist already famous for inventing the polygraph, which was the forerunner to the magic lasso, struck upon an idea for a new kind of superhero. One who would triumph not with fists or firepower, but with love. Fine, said Elizabeth, but make her a woman. Marston introduced the idea to Gaines, co-founder of All American Publications. Given the go-ahead, Marston developed Wonder Woman with Elizabeth, whom Marston believed to be a model of that era's unconventional, liberated woman. Marston was also inspired by Olive Byrne, who lived with a couple in a polygamous relationship. Both women served as exemplars for the character and greatly influenced the character's creation. Wonder Woman debuted in All-Star Comics number 8 in December 1941. Scripted by Marston and with art by Harry G. Peter, Wonder Woman was initially named Suprema in Marston's first script. But this name was dropped since Sensation Comics number 1 in January 1942 was Wonder Woman's first cover appearance. Marston was the creator of a stoic blood pressure measuring apparatus, which was crucial to the development of the polygraph, or lie detector. Marston's experience with polygraphs convinced him that women were more honest and reliable than men, and could work more efficiently. Wonder Woman is psychological propaganda for the new type of woman who should, I believe, rule the world, Marston wrote. In a 1943 issue of the American Scholar, Marston wrote, "Not even girls want to be girls so long as our feminine archetype lacks force, strength, and power. Not wanting to be girls, they don't want to be tender, submissive, peace-loving, as good women are. Women's strong qualities have become despised because of their weakness. The obvious remedy is to create a feminine character with all the strength of Superman, plus all the allure of a good and beautiful woman. Initially, Wonder Woman was an Amazon champion who wins the right to return Steve Trevor, a United States intelligence officer whose plane had crashed on the Amazon's isolated island homeland, to man's world, and to fight crime and the evil of the Nazis. During this period, Wonder Woman joined the Justice Society of America as the team's secretary. Well, that's how the thing was created. Created by a psychologist for a specific purpose. As we heard it, of the many things you could say it was, one thing you could not say it was, and that was, it was not of a godly origin. It was not on God's lines as revealed in the Bible for his people. It was anything but a godly example. It was targeting women, and especially girls, to be something that God did not design them to be. And that's important in this day and age. You see, the devil does not want God's people, men and women, to grow up and to be the kind of people that God wants them to be. Well, you know, Paul did address that issue. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 7:32. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. Then we went through the creation of Wonder Woman. Was there any mention of people doing things that were pleasing to the Lord? No, no mention of that at all. Now how about ladies? Verse 34. There is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both in body and in spirit. Now this is interesting. You saw from Marston's own relationship. He was in a polygamous relationship with at least two women. He was not cared about the things of the Lord. Let me continue in the verse here. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. Well, you didn't really get that impression from the setup of Wonder Woman now, did you? In fact, it was the complete opposite. Verse 35. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. Well, there you have what God wants for both men and women. When men and women are single, their first calling is to please the Lord. Quite an opposite from what's being pushed in the modern society now, isn't it? And when they're married, they are to be caring about the family, not messing around doing other things. You didn't get that impression from reading about the creative Marston's Wonder Woman now, did you? You see, there is a big difference between the things of the Lord and the things of the world. What should God's people do? Well, you know, being Mother's Day today, you know, there is a perfect example in the Bible of what God's ladies are doing, what God would want them to do to be pleasing to Him. It's got nothing to do with the revised Diana in her role in society. You know the famous passage, Proverbs 31:10-31. Yes, the virtuous woman. Not just quickly go through it just to show you. This is what God's ladies do. They're not zipping around with their lassos of truth, their bullet deflecting bracelets, etc., etc., etc. They intend on pleasing the Lord and serving their families. Yes, they're also. Call it a blessing to be able to bear children for the Lord, to raise them in a godly atmosphere. You know, raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Well, you know, the ungodly are not going to do that now, are they? In fact, the ungodly aren't even going to be having children. They consider them an inconvenience. And they're trying to kill them every which way they can. So, 1:10, Proverbs 31. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own work praise her in the gates. Well, interesting passage by Solomon, isn't it? Now, I know he did have kind of a lust problem himself, where with 1,000 wives and concubines, but at least he recognized the virtuous woman. Maybe he was still looking for one, hoping he'd find one, I don't know. But you know, the most impressive quality was a lady who feared the Lord. That was most important. As it is in this day and age as well, too. The fear of the Lord is important in both men and women. Because if we don't have the fear of the Lord, we're not going to be interested in serving Him. We're not going to be interested in being like our Lord Jesus Christ and in doing the things that He would have us do, which are completely opposite to the world. And you're seeing that more and more so in the world, especially over here in the West, as the ungodly are rising up all over the place. In British Columbia, there was a Christian university, Trinity Western University, who's wanting to start a law school. They got permission from the Canadian Federation of Lawyers, the Law Society of Canada. So they started setting it up. But now the provincial law societies are saying, we're not going to recognize your lawyers. That means they can't practice law in Canada, in the various provinces. Well, now that's interesting. Because if they were godly organizations, they'd want more godly people. I think it's probably the exact opposite case now, isn't it? So now the TWU is going to court over this, saying, oh, it's discrimination. And it is. The challenge is going to be there for God's people, men and, yes, especially women, because there's such an ungodly example out there. It starts in school and it keeps going up. It's in the media. It's everywhere. They don't want girls to be raised as young Christian ladies. They want them to be women of the world. That's why they're getting in sex education as soon as they can. Pervert the morals of the young. Get them off on the wrong path of life. But as we read from Paul's account in 1 Corinthians 7, both unmarried men and women, boys and girls, first duty is to please the Lord. We need more examples of that. For children to do that, their parents are going to have to do that. And show them this is what the Lord wants you to do. Setting the godly example is most important. The biggest thing for believers, for parents, in ensuring that their children do not start smoking or taking drugs or whatever, is for the parents themselves not to be involved in this kind of stuff. This is important. Because when the children see this kind of stuff, they sort of figure, well, I guess it's okay for us to do it. But you know, it's not okay, is it? There is a difference. And our Lord Jesus Christ wants believers to be acting like believers. And when you have choices to make, and you will have choices, God is wanting His people to be like Jesus Christ, His Son. It may mean that, you have to take a stand against all these various things that are out there. You know? All these things, such as Diana or Wonder Woman. It's not of the Lord, you know. The creators were not godly people. They just were not interested in that. And, you know, if you get involved in that kind of stuff, you're participating in an act of worship of Diana. That's all there is to it. You may say, well, I don't go into a temple. I'm not offering offerings and sacrifices. You are spending time with this ancient idol revived. That is part of the worship service, of being there with them. So whether it's doing the comics or the figurines as play toys, the movies, whatever, that's part of the worship service of it, being in their presence. And no, that's not for God's people. So if you want that godly example of what God's people, especially ladies, are supposed to do, yes, definitely go through Proverbs 21. That's Proverbs 31, verses 10 to 31. That's a godly lady there. She's industrious. She's God-fearing. She takes care of the family. She takes care of her servants. She's industrious. She buys land. She's not sitting in a home, someone who's completely oppressed. No. She has many things that she can do. She's just working within God's structure of the family. And you know, as people, you know, if you have a gadget, a toy, whatever, you know, if you want to get the most out of it, you have to kind of follow the guidelines of a manufacturer. This is the way it is. You have computer software. You have to operate it within the guidelines, or it's just not going to do what you want it to do. You know, if you have an animal that you're using for work, you know, especially in the days when they had draft horses for hauling lumber and stuff, you know, they were not tractors. You know, when they worked hard, you know, you had to give them an appropriate amount of time to rest, to feed them, to water them, to take care of them, or else they'd die on you. And, you know, in the case of horses, if they worked the horses too hard, they could even drop dead on the spot. You know, it's the same with God's people. God has set us up to work in a particular way. If we want to function the most efficiently, the best, and be pleasing to the Lord, we need to do it His way. Proverbs 31 does show what it is for a virtuous woman. It's probably good on Mother's Day for say believers to see that and to want to follow it. Well, you know, Paul also was making mention over in Titus in chapter 2 of some things about this as well too. People are wondering, well, are there examples or guidelines of what people should do? Well, Paul did address it. We saw there in 1 Corinthians 7, good advice. Single people, men and women, first priority is to serve the Lord. When they're married, they then look after their families. They still have a good eye towards the Lord as well, too. They're serving their families in light of the Lord's leadings and guidances. That's most important. Well, we'll see what Paul wrote to Titus here. Titus chapter 2. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. See, Paul's admonition, advice to Timothy, give good doctrine, give sound doctrine. Now, the church in this day and age needs a sound doctrine. There is so much deception and foolishness out there. I mean, it's bad. And be something probably to pray for is God to raise up more godly pastors who will be giving sound doctrine. You see, so many people these days are out looking for those who will satisfy their itching ears. Well, that's not good now, is it? You see, they don't really want to get right with the Lord. They just want to find somebody who's going to tell them what they're doing is right. Well, then they might as well go to a psychologist, because that's what they tell people. You don't have a problem with everybody else. You see, you're okay. That's the buzzword of the generation. You're okay. Except, you know, it's not that way now, is it? All the problems that it causes. Well, Paul then starts off. Advice for the elder men. Verse 2. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Yes. Would you say that most elder men today would fit that category? How about most elder men in the church? Would they fit that category? Or would you say it fits the expression, there's no fool like an old fool? I think there's too much of that that's going on out there, unfortunately. Isn't it interesting? Paul said, first thing, sober. Not just not being drunk, but sober as not being a fool. How many shows, radio, television shows, do you listen to And the people are just laughing and giggling like a bunch of buffoons. You know, that everything's so funny. Hee hee hee, ha ha ha. I mean, what foolishness. If they were young children, you could see it. But grown-ups acting that way? No. Not in God's society. Our Lord Jesus Christ and the disciples didn't go around like that now, did they? The high priest in the temple, when it was set up, originally did not act that way. Well, God's people are not supposed to act that way. Grave. Well, say grave. What would they say that is now? Well, reverent. It'd be another way. Reverent. You know, again, not foolish. Not someone who's always taking things lightly, you know, refusing to be serious about things. You know, some people are always joking about things, you know, like it's just a big joke. They're temperate. Yeah? Yeah, temperate. Self-controlled. You see that in society today. You know, these examples here, think of the first two people who met our Lord in the temple, Anna and Simeon. They were the only two, you could say, righteous people at that period of time who were given the opportunity of seeing the Savior as an infant. The Lord blessed them for that. One elderly man and one elderly lady who spent their time in the temple serving the Lord. How many people in their senior years spend time serving the Lord? Or what do people do today when they retire? They want to go travel. They want to go vacation here, there, and everywhere. Or up here in Canada, big thing for people in Eastern Canada who have the money is they become what they call snowbirds. 6 months down living in Florida, 6 months up in Canada. Although, you know, with the weather, the way it's been the last number of years, we've had usually fairly good winters. Now, last winter was a little colder and longer, but before that, don't know why people want to go down to Florida. Might as well stay up here. Another good quality, sound in faith. Most important. Sound in faith, not shallow. This goes with years of following the Lord. Bible study as well, too. Christian service. And charity, that's important as well, too. Because in today's world, you don't see the agape love of the Lord the way it used to be now, do you? People are so selfish, they only do things if there's something in it for them. The devil does have a counterfeit. It's called altruism. But it's not agape love. Basically, this is good works, and the people thinking they can accumulate brownie points to heaven if they do these various things. But it's much better to do it the way our Lord has set it up. In patience. Yeah, this is good for God's elderly people. Be patient to help the younger ones, because patience isn't usually a quality in the younger ones now, is it? And then verse 3. Now we see about the senior ladies, what Paul says for them. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not given too much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Well, three verses here for the ladies as examples for them. Now, you notice that There's a big difference between God's standards and the world's standards, especially, say, as that psychologist Marston did for when he came up with the revised Diana Wonder Woman concept to be the icon of feminism. Well, ladies want examples. You might as well follow our Lord Jesus Christ in the way he set things up. Paul is saying not only should the aged ladies have the same basic qualities as the men, but also he said they should be in behavior, reverent in behavior, and that's important as well too. Also, not slanderers. Yes, being most careful. You know, Paul did talk about the younger widows, that they should get married again and bear children, lest they become busybodies, snooping where they shouldn't be, snooping and tail-bearing, speaking things that ought not to be spoken, butting into private family business, and spreading it all over. God's people are not supposed to be doing that. You come across something, say a problem in a family, best thing is pray about it. Ask the Lord to resolve it. Well, and also you may want to break off curses of family destruction as well too, because they're hitting God's people. The devil does not want godly families, because every family is a little church in itself. That's why the devil hits on the children, to split the children off. He hits on the wife or the husband to split them off. And then he's won his victory when he's destroyed another family. We've seen many Christian families go up in smoke, unfortunately, because of the devil hitting them hard. In all kinds. Fundamentalists, charismatic, even deliverance. If anybody thinks that they're immune to the attacks of the devil, they really better take stock of their situation, because the devil is just laughing behind their back. I remember some years ago hearing about a couple, an elderly couple, probably middle age or whatever, so sex with the pastor and his wife. They had a big ministry, and one day a couple of witches, pagans, came to visit them. They didn't really know who they were, but they were doing their stuff on them, and little did the pastor and his wife know what was going on, but they hit them so hard in the psychic realm that within 6 months the family had broken up and they split up. Within 6 months, just before, stable couple had been hit so hard by the devil, they went their own ways. So for believers who don't think the devil can hit them just because they're Christians, they really need to take a look out in the world and, as it says, wake up and smell the coffee, because there's too many stories of the devil destroying God's people because they don't fight the battle where it should be. And Paul tells us in Ephesians 6, we have to fight in the heavenlies. Believers are just going to be like ostriches and stick their head in the sand and figure if they ignore the devil, he'll ignore them. Well, they're just easy targets for the devil and his demons. Well, continuing with the qualities here, not given to much wine. Nope. In fact, really, I don't believe you need it at all. Teachers of good things. That's assuming they know good things. You know, in this day and age, many women have not spent a whole lot of time learning things as children of their mothers and home craft things. But if they haven't learned them, they're not going to be able to pass them on and teach them. You know, just an example. In hard economic times, if, you know, there's any work to be done in the home, you know, if a lady can make their own meals for the family from scratch, as they call it, and you don't have to go out and buy prepared food all the time. Just think of how much money you'll be saving. And just think of how much tax you won't have to be paying to make more money to buy this processed food. Of course, that also means you may have to spend a little bit more time in the home, which is another interesting problem, because most of today's women put their careers ahead of their family. And the social statistics show it, unfortunately. And yes, men do need to spend more time with their families as well, too. You know, if you're not going to spend time with your children, then why bother even having children in the first place? You know, there is a phenomenon among childless couples, and that's deliberately those who refuse to have children. They go for pets. Even single women who refuse to marry and refuse to have children, they go for the small dogs, they say. It's their substitute baby. Well, if they're going to be that kind of parent, maybe it's better they don't have children. There's so much stuff going on that's messing up children these days. The best example are godly man, godly wife, raising children in nurture and admonition of the Lord. Well, verse 4, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands. Another important task, teach the younger women to love their husbands. Why would they need that? Because there's so much ungodly influence in the world that's trying to pull the women away from their husbands. Tell them they don't need them. Tell them to get out and do their own thing. Well, if they wanted to do that, they shouldn't have got married in the first place. Now, shame. So it's important the elder lady teach younger women to love their husbands. Not only that, to love their children. That does take a lot, but you know, it's agape love of the Lord. It is worth it. Because, you know, the world is not going to offer a whole lot of that now, are they? And parents who tend to not spend time with their children, they try to buy their love with giving them lots of money and gifts and other little things like that. But you know, the most thing children want of their parents is to be with them, to spend time with them. And you can't buy children's affection. Spending time with them is a very important thing. Also, the ladies to be discreet. Yes? Especially when you hear things, like in the church, not to be gossiping and being a busybody. Chaste. Yeah, that's another like holiness. Now, if you look at the things in the media today, with the various shows and programs hitting on the seniors, pulling them out of a godly lifestyle, the fruit of that is the, you know, one of the fastest raising groups of STDs are the elderly, who have been told, you know, why should you be denied all the pleasures that everyone else is having? And so they're doing it, and well, they're reaping the rewards, but they're not getting any rewards from heaven for that. Also, to be homemakers. Yes, that's most important in this day and age. To be homemakers. How many people in a church could use a helping hand of seniors who are sick or who are not able to do things could use as somebody, especially a man who's just retired, you know, who's still got good health usually and abilities, you know, why aren't they out helping other people? You know, some years ago I knew man who was a professional and retired, and you know, when asked if he was going to help other people who needed, he said no, he was retired from that line of business, he wasn't going to do it anymore. What a waste, eh? He spent all that time in that career, making money for himself, and now for, say, a few short years, he wasn't going to use it for the Lord to help other people. That is extreme selfishness. How many young families, especially, say, if they're having children, you know, would say when they, you know, next child is being born, would love to have someone from the church, you know, help. But if they're not around as homemakers, they're not able there to help them. The church does need to learn a lot more about living like Christians and to be helping one another. You know, aren't you supposed to bear one another's burdens? Instead, they may gather together for service time, and after that, hey, don't bug me. I'll see you next week at service. Well, that's not a godly attitude, let me tell you. And if there's that in the church, the pastor does need to preach some good sermons about that and to do some good deliverance with the people as well, too, because that's not a godly thing to do. Also, the elderly lady is to be good. That's right, to be good. Of course, everybody in the world needs to be good, but especially the elderly ladies there. And to just give you an example of, you know, how many seniors who have had home care have said all of a sudden they've noticed their jewelry or their wealth or their valuable belongings have disappeared by dishonest home care workers or medical staff. God's people aren't supposed to be that, men or women. They're supposed to be honest and godly. Another major quality for the elderly ladies is to be obedient to their own husbands. Boy, oh boy. You see that in today's world? No. Because in many cases, it's a matriarchal society. Oh, they may belong to a church that has a man as a pastor, but you know, there's the women that's ruling the church. No, it's not supposed to be that way. God has set up the man to be the pastor. Now, a godly pastor does not run over his people, but he does lead them like a godly shepherd in the way the Lord wants them to go. And that's not succumbing to matriarchs, the Jezebels, who want to run the church their own way. Well, anyways, also then, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. That's an important part as well, too. How many people say they don't go to church because it's full of hypocrites? Well, unfortunately, that's too true. But still, the challenge is to God's people to live more like Jesus Christ. You know, there was that golfer, Payne Stewart, I believe, or Stewart Payne some years ago, who always went around, you know, and his expression was, what would Jesus say about that? You know, as people were thinking of doing things, this, that, and the other thing. Well, you know, he was in the airplane and something happened. There was an air leak, and they figure everybody, you know, succumbed to oxygen starvation, just died up in the plane. Now, the plane was on autopilot, and it just kept going on for hours and hours and hours until after it ran out of fuel, and I guess it crashed somewhere. Thankfully, didn't, you know, kill anybody in the crash in the ground, but everybody up in the plane was killed. But, you know, if believers thought of that, you know, are what we are doing now be pleasing unto the Lord, that would probably get some people to second guess things. And that's why it's important, you know, for people. What are you going to do? The world is influencing you. The world is pulling hard, you know, in an ungodly direction. You know, we were just looking at the examples with Diana, the new Diana of his Wonder Woman. And it's very strong. Starts young in life, pulls people in an ungodly direction. You know, it was designed by ungodly people. It's not going to be godly in scope. Either the original or the new Wonder Woman. There are examples in the Bible. The virtuous woman, etc. Paul's advice to Timothy and to Titus. What he said in 1 Corinthians 7. There are examples there for God's people, especially for ladies. But you're going to be like a fish swimming up against the current, because the force of the world will be against you. So you're going to have to decide. You're going to be like those in the world, or you're going to be the kind of person, the kind of lady that our Lord Jesus Christ wants you to be, you know, the virtuous woman. Because the world needs more virtuous women. They'll be like light shining in darkness. Of course, the world's not going to like it, but too bad for them, isn't it? God's people have to live more like Jesus Christ, to be pleasing unto Him, be full of the fear of the Lord. And yes, we do need more virtuous women. We need more virtuous men as well, too. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. I would like to thank everybody for joining me here today as we study the Word of God. Aren't there so many blessings and promises in it that God has for us? But the best one He has is eternal life. It's free, and it's offered to everybody. I would challenge everybody to examine themselves, as Paul said, to see if they be in the faith. And if things are lacking, there's no better day than today, because today is the day of salvation. I know the devil will tell you, you don't have to do it. You don't have to win anything. Well, says Romans 14:12, everybody is going to have to give account of themselves. Everybody. In case the devil tries sin, you're not that bad. Well, it's Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Being good is not good enough. You have to be godly. And you can only do it through the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, our Lord shows us there's two options. Again, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life eternal. That's the way it is. There's two choices. It's God's way or it's the other way. The other way is no good. You don't want that. I don't want to see anyone go that way, but you know, because of the sin of Adam, that's where humanity is going. Everybody is going that road until they get born again. You say, well, is it really like that? Well, you know, there's Romans 6:23. Yep. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life eternal. You know, that's followed up Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everyone. So, what's it going to be? I want the best for everybody. You want to maximize your manhood or your womanhood? You got to do it the way our Lord Jesus Christ said. You know, the Holy Spirit is working in each and every one, convicting you of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. So what are you going to do? You're going to turn away? The devil's best lie is, don't do it today. Do it tomorrow. Have fun. Enjoy yourself. You can get saved an hour before you die. Those people who go that road, they usually never get around to it, because many times they die suddenly, and they just don't have time for that. I don't want to see that happen to anybody. You know, if you had the winning multi-million dollar ticket, you would be running down to collect it immediately. You know, that's what eternal life is. It's better than that, because it can't be taxed. Your bank's not going to go under and take your money. Your treasure's in heaven. You're going to collect everything when you go to be there. But you know, you got to confess your sin. You got to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Call upon Him as your Lord and Savior. You know, He's knocking at the door of your heart, as it says in Revelation 3:20.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will open the door, I will enter and come in with him. Yeah? The Lord is waiting for you to invite him in. You say, well, what happens when I do that? Well, God's Holy Spirit will come into you upon salvation, will clean up your spirit, and will seal you under the day of redemption. Yes, right. You know, when you leave this world because you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, you're going to be up in heaven forever and ever and ever. You're not going to be floating around in nothingness, no purgatory. You go to be with our Lord Jesus Christ. What a great thing that is. And it is eternal security because of John 10:27-28, where our Lord himself says, nobody can take you out of my Father's hand. Nobody can take you out of my hand. Nobody's greater than us, our Lord said. You can take that to the bank. So what are you going to do? Our Lord Jesus Christ is calling you today. Come. Matthew 11:28-30. Come, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Aren't you tired of all that's going on in the world? Aren't you tired of leading a defeated life? Why not come to our Lord Jesus Christ? He shed his blood for you on Calvary's cross. He loves you. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you want this everlasting life, a little simple prayer, just like a little child can do. Lord Jesus Christ, if I have never really asked you into my heart and into my life, I'm asking you here now to come in and to save me from all my sins. And when you do that, your sins are forgiven. Your name's written in the book of life. And as Romans 8 says, nothing can separate you from the love of God that is given to you through Christ Jesus. Nothing. Yes, your spirit sealed. And when you leave here, you'll go to be with our Lord forever. And in this life, God's Holy Spirit will work in you, helping you to mortify the flesh, helping you to be more like Jesus so you can do the works of Jesus, so you can be more glorifying to our Heavenly Father. Where can you get a better deal like that? Just ain't one around. So again, I urge you today, before it is too late, seek out the Lord. For those who are born again that have fallen by the wayside, confess your sins. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's right. Your sins that you've committed, sins, will be forgiven. I urge you, seek it out. Do not delay. Be diligent in it. Our Lord has his loving arms open to you. He wants you to come back into the fold. So again, may the Lord grant you the grace and the mercy and peace to be able to follow through this, because it's the best thing that will ever happen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen.